If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
A lot of investors are just like, ooh, I'm going to do one thing and one thing only. And it's like, that's so dumb. Focus on everything and dominate.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Solomon Floyd is the CEO and founder of Reunion Investments LLC, a full-service real estate investment company that specializes in economic development in tertiary and military communities. Solomon also takes an active role in partnering with the VA for housing homeless veterans in the Dallas-Fort Worth area while enabling clients and investors to add revenue to their portfolios. Solomon, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Man, it's an honor to get to interview you. You have your hands in a whole bunch of different things, and I'm excited to kind of really learn what you guys invest in, you know, and kind of how you developed your system, scaled, all those sorts of things. But if you can just give us a brief overview of where you started, where you are now, and how you got there.
Absolutely. So I started when I was in the military. I saw the need for everything, right? I don't know if you're, many of your listeners are in the military, but military communities aren't built near the biggest, best cities, right? They're built in the places that are cheap. And luckily, you know, if you can identify trends, which, you know, most good real estate investors can, you have to be able to identify that trend in that real estate, which is if the government thought it was cheap and the property around there is cheap, that must mean everything around that market is cheap. And what I was able to do was sort of take the single family approach into properties. But then I realized, right, how can I take one single family property and add more value? Looking at my market and where I was investing and where I was putting my time, all these military members, just like me, had all this money to spend, relatively to the market. And I decided if I go beyond building the homes and I build the businesses that they're going to spend their money in, that means that the civilians who lived in this really cheap community now have the ability to get better jobs. So that means I can make better housing for them. If they live in better housing, they're probably going to want to go spend their money at some of the better places. And so by utilizing and scaling, I was able to say, hey, I can start with one, but if I plan out for this one little tiny area, I can build out an entire economy that benefits me as the investor and the people who live there.
Man, that is some really big picture thinking. You know, that's that most of us don't quite make it to that stage in the development of our businesses. We find an asset class and we stick to it. So when you kind of, you know, forecast that vision, how did you go about implementing it?
It was actually really simple. So I don't operate in large primary markets. I don't even operate in secondary markets. I operate wholly in tertiary markets. The biggest reason was the properties were cheap, right? And so price was a really big factor for a lot of my investors and myself. I wasn't going to go invest in Dallas because to buy a 1,700 square foot home would have cost me, right, $350,000 that I then have to rent out for $5,000 a month. It's not going to happen, right? There's way nicer places than what I was going to do to the place in Dallas versus I can buy the exact same property in Wichita Falls, Texas, 2.5 hours away, for $30,000. I can fix it up for $50,000 and make it this beautiful property. And then I can rent it out for $2,000. My returns are significantly higher in those markets, which gives me a lot more income to be able to go and put it into the next thing. So my thought process was, well, all these streets look beautiful again. All these military members are happy. All these rents are being paid. What needs to happen next? Because what you're going to hear from a lot of your people, if you listen to your community that you're investing in, they're going to tell you it sucks to live here. Ooh, if only we had this. Ooh, if only we had that, right? You got to listen and be able to apply that, put that into place so that way you can build for that community. A lot of investors are just like, ooh, I'm going to do one thing and one thing only. And it's like, that's so dumb. Focus on everything and dominate that. Because I'll tell you, in a market like Dallas or New York or California, these really big, you know, like Los Angeles, when one aspect of that little economy goes down or there's a lockdown or a shutdown and the economy can't function, it stops. People don't pay their rent. If I go to a tertiary market where there's only 200,000 people and it shuts down, it's only 200,000 people to test. Those little tertiary economies open up quicker. They were all open during the COVID thing, which allowed me to have all my rents paid, which allowed me to keep my businesses going, which allowed my businesses to keep feeding the people and giving people jobs to pay their rent. I built an economy that could withstand something like COVID because I focused on all asset classes and making sure that it was a revolving income effect that at the very end, yes, I won. But the people who I built these homes and businesses for, they won as well.
Right. And so are you're just landlording. Obviously, you're not running all of these different businesses. You're building the shells. You're building the opportunity for other people to come in and set up shop. I mean, is that right?
That depends. So, you know, if I go to a company in Dallas, Oklahoma City, or Fort Worth, and they're like, we don't really want to go to those markets, then I'll build it myself. How hard is it for me to build a little area where food trucks can come in and park and do their thing, right? I shouldn't miss out on that. No one else should. The biggest thing that I've started doing now is partnering with a lot of franchise groups and start offering franchises to other veterans to invest in these military communities, right? Because that's where they're going to see that from. They're going to see that boom and that economic, you know, huge power from being able to put it where nothing is already, right? Military members have to get their hair cut. You know how many barbershops there are in a lot of military communities? Very little, right? The look on your face is like, well, why wouldn't there be? Because people can't ever look outside of their blinders. I can go talk to an investor all day about, hey, let's go to Wichita Falls, Texas. You're like, but why not Dallas? Well, because Dallas is too overpriced. You're not going to make any money, man. Let's go where the military members are. Well, don't the military members leave? Yeah, so do tenants in like any other place. That's how renting a home works, right? Like, so it's all about making sure that you find what it is that you're going for. But, you know, for me, it was just operating is very key. I don't do it as much anymore as I used to because I can sell a lot of this stuff off and I've built a name for myself. But back in the day, you're damn right. I own 90% of the businesses that I built commercial properties for.
That's incredible. Like, I mean, just the diversity of skill set that you would have to both have in yourself and then also employ for all those different businesses seems like it would be a daunting thing. How did you develop the systems to manage those?
I just took what worked. I took the version of Twisted Root Burger that worked best and I applied it in Wichita Falls, Texas. I took the best version of Chuck E. Cheese I could find and I applied it in Killeen, Texas, right? So I took these different practices of things that were already working and all I had to think to myself was, if the economy ever tanked and a business ever needed people to go do, what are military members gonna want? They're gonna want the same things you and I want, man. They're gonna wanna eat, they're gonna wanna drink, they're gonna wanna have a great time, they're gonna wanna feel grateful. But here's the benefit to military members that a lot of people don't see. They get paid on the 1st and 15th of every month. Government shutdown, they get paid. COVID, they get paid, which means they have the ability to effectively drive an economy during hard times. And that's why I focus on those areas, because it's a safe investment, the properties are cheap, and the returns are high. So for me, managing it was very simple, right? All I have to do is remember, those people who always get paid, who always have money, are going to want to spend it. That's why they give it to us, so we can go spend it.
Right. Okay. But when it comes down to those businesses and the running of those businesses, if you were running operations on so many of those businesses, obviously you didn't just do it all on your own. You're not cutting hair. You're not, hiring.
I brought in managers. So really what I did was I did a lot of sort of co-working S type of spaces. So I'd create a barbershop, right? But I would just lease out the chairs to somebody. I'd post a little listing on Facebook or something and said, hey, come make $500 a weekend cutting hair. And everybody would be like, $500 a weekend, that's not even possible. Until I got my first three barbers there. My first three barbers made $1,000 in a weekend cutting hair for people. They went and they told their friends and boom, just like that. So I let that run for a little bit. They all paid their rent. And I finally sold that business to somebody who could really take it up to the next level. Because that's not what it's about for me. For me, it's about building those economies to make sure that they're cyclical. Because if I can continue to build real estate there, bring in new businesses and develop these little markets, then I effectively have zero competition. I don't have to worry about what happens in Dallas. I don't have to worry about an election. I don't have to worry about what happens if COVID happens, because I've built a market that is that is my risk profile, right? It's a market that I've built for myself. And a lot of investors can do that, but they choose to just come into a market that's already been built for them, like Dallas, like Los Angeles, right? If you can find it at the cheapest price, get it. That's hard to do because everybody else is doing the exact same thing. So for me, right, I didn't really know anything about owning a barbershop. I just knew someone pays you to cut their hair. Luckily, you know, before I went and built that space out, I knew that you had to have, you know, more than one hot water heater. I knew you had to have a lot of electrical outlets, right? Because I would just go into a barbershop and just kind of ask, what do you need to start a barbershop? And they tell me, and I'd be like, perfect, I'm going to go do that. What do I need to make this kitchen look so beautiful? This is who I used. I didn't go and reinvent the wheel. I just took something that was effectively working and made it work a little bit differently. That's all I needed to do.
Right. It sounded like you had a lot of curiosity in a good sense of like, how does this work? And then figured out how to just repeat it, you know, just the success leaves clues idea.
Agreed. And that's the military, right? They give you a lot of free time. So use that free time to learn. I'm only 25. So for me, it was just a matter of, you know, how can I apply this on a level that makes sense? At first it was, I need to communicate with investors. They have to see the value of this. And very quickly they did because it made sense, right? Why wouldn't I spend my $250,000 in a place where I can get 6 properties versus where I can get 1?
Right. And when you say investors, now are these people you've brought alongside you who are passive investors in your projects, or are these people you're selling deals off to?
Originally, I was selling deals off to. Now, a lot of them just invest in my projects. And most of the time, you know, we're doing really big projects. So the investments amount are quite large for that one amount. The reason we're now kind of offering some smaller different options for people. So we'll see what that looks like here for 2021. But in the meantime, we're moving along. And that's
right.
The reason that we can make it happen because, you know, speed is the name of the game. When COVID happened, I remember telling every single one of my investors, and they all, I think 3 of them called me. 3 of my favorite investors called me and they said this, "You're right. You're right about it all." And I was like, wasn't I? Because their properties in their primary markets weren't paying their rent, but all their military renters paid their rent. All their commercial tenants paid their rent. You want to know why? Because military members still had to get haircuts. They still had to buy their beer. They still wanted to go spend money at the virtual strip club. That was what it was about.
Right. That's interesting. Was it tough the first time you raised money for a deal that was off the beaten path? Like, was that a hard sell the first time you did it?
It was a hard sell because I was trying to sell it from my perspective. I had bought my first 9 homes. I, you know, was like, well, you know, who else really wouldn't want to do this? I didn't understand how investors really thought about different markets and how they were being educated. So I spent a lot of time educating those investors. I took 100 trips up to my market, Wichita Falls, before I got a yes. 100 investors, and each investor, it's a 2.5-hour drive, and I drove them there. I told them when they told me no on the way, on when we were there, oh no, I'll pass. On the way back, when we drove back, I made sure I asked this question. What would have made you say yes? Oh, if I had my own construction company there. So I started a construction company. What would make you say yes? Oh, if there was a property management company there. Oh, perfect. So I started a property management company, right? So I made it so that way there was no other option for them to ever tell me no. And once I did that, it made it so much easier because now it's like, hey, full service. Go ahead and, you know, buy your investment, give us the money, and we'll go ahead and build this out. You'll get your return. And then I thought, well, why not just offer this to passive investors? Why am I selling off all my good deals? So I keep a lot of the equity, sell it out to the passive investors, and then we rock and roll that way. And that's what hopefully 2021 will look like more of.
I think if you hear anything today on this podcast, what you just said, I think might be the golden nugget, which was to ask the question, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, where all of us stop short, we go, oh, you know, crud, they said no. Well, what would have made you say yes?
Yeah, feedback is almost always a positive thing. If someone says, well, why didn't you want to kiss me? Because your breath smelled bad. What does it mean? What does it mean, right? It means you got to go brush your teeth,
man.
Exactly. So, you know, like that's how feedback operates. Feedback is one of those things that a lot of people don't ever seem to ask. They get the no and they leave the building. You get the no, okay, well, now that you said no, all cards on the table, what would have made you say yes?
Right, yeah, what do you got to lose? I mean, the answer's already no. So, like...
Yeah.
What do you got to lose?
So now for next time.
I've got your construction company.
You're geared, right? You're geared up and you know. So you'll say, you know what? And now I can offer this. And you didn't offer it in the past. Maybe you get a no again. But that no may be like, well, I would do this next time. So you add it the third time, though. The third time you get the yes because you've been able to take your experience and your feedback and build something that your investors really want. And
right.
That's always key that a lot of people are just like, I'm going to go sell what I want to sell. I'm going to go sell commercial assets because that's what I want. Incorrect. Sell what your investors want sell what your investors are looking for to the people who need it most. That's
right.
The best way I can ever give advice for commercial, single family, mixed use, whatever it is. That is the best way to get ahead in the real estate game, period.
Man, that's awesome. Let's jump into the final 4. And maybe you just gave that answer to the first question I'm going to ask. But is if you were to distill everything you know down to one piece of advice and we're giving it to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
I would tell them the first thing you have to do, drive around your market and ask people what they want. it makes it so much easier for you to be able to just go in and build this deck to go pitch to people because you already have the data. If people say, man, I could really use some new housing, man. All the houses around here are just old. They're out of date. They're cold. They don't have HVAC. And maybe you don't need to start with, oh, let's just go build a bunch of new housing. Maybe it's, well, why don't we go rehab some homes and put in some HVAC if none of the homes have any HVAC? Now you can charge $300 more for rent, and it's justified.
That's great. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
The biggest thing that I've been really focusing on is I've been meeting a lot with cities, right? I meet a lot with the city inspectors, with the mayors, with the Chamber of Commerce, and that's really where I now ask people what they're looking for because they will be able to send out those surveys. They really, because they're the chosen representatives for their community, right? So that's where I really tend to feel as though, you know, hey, during this downtime in COVID, set up these Skype calls with these people, man. Ask them what they're looking for. Ask them what they need. Ask them when they need to buy and see what we can make happen. Because collaboration is the only key to real estate. If you don't collaborate with people, you're one piece of a very large, complicated puzzle, right?
Right. No, that's brilliant. That's good advice. And those are commonly people we tend to flee from. You know, especially when it comes to codes and people like that, you go, oh my gosh, like, you know, the last people you want to see are those guys because it just slows your projects down. They get in the way, but you're turning that on its head and saying, hey, let's go talk to them and see what they see and see how we can make this better. And that probably just paves the road for more success for you. So that's fantastic. When it comes to giving back, what is one thing you're currently doing to make the world a better place?
So the biggest thing that I've really been focusing in is a lot of our consulting. I've worked with a lot of investors who are just afraid of the tertiary markets. And they say, but I've got these properties in this really large market. The biggest thing you can do, especially now, is something called VASH. The VASH program, V-A-S-H, is a government program. And it's guaranteed rental income is what it is. You house homeless veterans. And don't get me wrong, they're not like homeless veterans with signs. They're homeless veterans who are looking to get their lives back on track. And the government pays you for the entire year. It is a great way to give back, and it is a great way to make the money that you need. Luckily, the government is paying people at market competitive rates. So you get to house these veterans and put them in play. The other thing that we do is I put them through job training programs. Helmets to hard hats is another one that we've been utilizing. We put them through these jobs training programs, and now we've got plumbers, electricians, people who can now go out and contribute in a booming economy that's heavily focused on real estate. And that's been the biggest thing that I've been able to do. But again, because it makes myself and my investors a little bit more income, it gives us the ability to say, okay, I'm going to go take my time that I don't have to trade for money now to go set up these programs for these people who served our country to go better themselves and get back into society and go whoop some ass.
Man, that's awesome. That's super cool. If our listeners want to get in touch with you and learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Absolutely. You can get in touch with me via LinkedIn, Solomon Floyd. You can go to solomonfloyd.com. I'm there too. Or you can go to our website, reunioninvestmentsllc.com, to learn more about our current opportunities and different things that we're doing. I am teaching a real estate development course on how to do what I do. So look for that in 2021 as well. That's really it.
Man, Solomon, thanks for sharing your insights today. It's super cool to see what you guys are up to and learn from one of the best. So thanks again for your time. I certainly appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on, Sam.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.